Do you think most school shooters were white men?
It's all part of the narrative, dude.
Yeah, the narrative.
It's all part of the narrative, and you know it.
Go ahead, preach. We're in church
right
now.
You know it.
Go ahead.
They said that the guy that shot Charlie was a Republican.
Can you answer me this?
He wasn't.
Trans people are such effective assassins. Why'd we kick them all out of the military?
Looking at this one right here, I want to get this thing a gun.
Get the fuck out of here. Get this loser out of here. Are you serious? Why are you pointing out people in the audience and bullying people? Are you serious?
At the aftermath of this event, Charlie Kirk has almost become a martyr for the right. You think that the killing of conservatives and the fear of conservatives to be killed is going to turn down the temperature of their leaders, but I was just at the vigil, and I'll tell you what, the temperature has only risen. So why do you think that the temperature is going to go down for leaders like Donald Trump that, you know, I saw you at the plaza speaking about earlier, clearly not turning down their rhetoric at all?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the rhetoric is going to turn down because I don't think Donald Trump has any desire to turn it down. I think the left has been disavowing violence and calling for a decrease in the rhetoric for like the past decade. And for some reason, Republicans seem completely and utterly unwilling to do it. For everybody that's saying bullshit right now, I welcome you to go look at Joe Biden's Twitter to see what Kamala Harris has said, see what Barack Obama has said. And then you can go ahead and post me what Donald Trump has said in response to everything, which is just a call for more violence, basically, on the right.
So I understand what you were saying earlier. You were saying that the left doesn't have a need to disavow, like that should be on the conservatives. But I feel like
I think everybody should disavow, to be clear.
Everybody should disavow. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm speaking with you.
That's great. But what about the president?
But what I'm getting at, it's not about the president. It's not about the leadership. It's about you promoting this violence, saying that conservatives need to be afraid of dying at events.
That is what I take issue with. It has nothing to do with conservatives. Violent conflict for political beliefs in the United States is not good for anybody. I feel like that fear exists on the left. Nobody wants to see the violence. For some reason, it feels like the right feels like they're invincible and that they can go out and say the craziest things and invite like all of the conflict that Donald Trump is still pushing. You can say it. I mean, just watch. Look at what Donald Trump says. I invite somebody up here to tell me how Donald Trump has disavowed violence without blaming Biden or the left. When you come up here, no one's going to have anything to say because he hasn't done it. It's absolutely insane to me. So I don't know if the feeling is just that the right is inviting conflict. They don't think it's a big deal. I can't tell. I genuinely can't tell.
I think the temperature that I'm gathering, and while, you know, as a conservative, I don't follow the demagogues on the right.
You don't follow the leader of your party, the political party?
You're not my party. I'm a conservative, but I'm also registered as an independent. And the thing that I kind of want to... The thing that I want to ask you is you need to make a statement very firmly condemning violence. And when you say things and you go on Piers Morgan and you continually say that the right needs to disavow, so do you. All of us need to. That's the point of this tour.
We've been disavowing for 10 years. The right refuses to do it.
It's not about, my question is not about left versus right. My question is about your recent remarks. That's all I'm trying to get at.
If you don't even care what the president has to say on violence, why do you care what I have to say? I'm not even part of your political movement.
I do not care.
This is an unserious question.
I also care.
Why do you care what I say?
I also care what the president says. My point is that I'm not.
You guys should ask him to turn it down.
I also think, Destiny, that you have a role in doing this because you represent.
You're dead wrong. You're absolutely wrong.
You don't think so, and you have such a big platform. You know, you're the biggest voice here.
In the United States, not as big as J.D. Vance, not as big as Nancy Mace, not as big as all these lawmakers, cabinet members, presidents, vice presidents, podcasters, alternative media guys on the right, everybody from the Daily Wire, Steve Bannon, and his show. All of these guys are saying the left is the enemy. The radical left Democrats are one of the causes. They had a whole conspiracy led out about who the shooter was before they even knew who anything about him at all.
Destiny.
So I'm sorry. Like, the idea that you're up here saying, like, well, your rhetoric is responsible is a joke.
I don't believe that your rhetoric is responsible at all. I'm saying that the promotion of this continual rhetoric will only feed into the right. This is only feeding into the people that you are saying to disavow violence.
I want everybody in this country to disavow violence. Feed into the right.
I was at the rally.
Can you explain? When I say I want everybody in this country to be able to disavow violence, how does that feed into
the right? When you say that conservatives need to be afraid of dying at events that turn down the temperature.
I've said that everybody should have a healthy fear of political violence. We shouldn't want it to happen.
So then say everybody. You should have said that.
We've said this for over a decade, but you guys don't hear it.
Then
you're
why?
You're not connected to reality.
I'm not connected to reality.
You're not connected to reality.
Masterbutt.
How many BLM rioters did Joe Biden pardon? Exactly. How many J6ers did Donald Trump pardon? What kind of a message is it sending to your base to say that you can commit violence on my behalf to install me as a leader, and if you get caught, I'll pardon you.
There's a lot of implicit assumptions that you're making. You're assuming that I support January 6th. You're assuming that I support... Yeah, but you're generalizing me as a part of the Republican right.
Yeah, when I'm standing here,
I'm standing here with a club, and we are trying to promote dialogue here. That's all I'm concerned about, and all I'm asking you is that as a conservative, where I have faced this fear for years, where I've also dealt with threats of violence. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing this, because I also don't stand with the demagogues that are calling for violence against the left as well.
That's fine. But so if you say that violence is the thing that worries you, if I were to go through your Twitter account, is there a single tweet of yours criticizing the president for his rhetoric?
I don't use Twitter. I don't engage in online rhetoric because I think that it's pointless.
This is an unserious question.
This is not an unserious question whatsoever. I don't need to use Twitter to be engaged with politics when I'm part of large political organizations on campus. I'm engaging with my enemies in person, not on the screen. That's what matters.
Respect you for being here, good luck.
Yeah.
Just a quick note, if you're not asking a question, you can't be in the aisles. We need them clear for ADA something something. Safety.
Believe me, it's great to meet Destiny.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, we need both mics, okay? Okay.
I need both mics, it's a technical issue.
Yes.
Real question here, sorry I hate you with the Trump.
Believe me, Destiny, you're not the master debater. You never have been, quite frankly.
Okay, hold on, we need a question.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask a question. Serious question with the name of your movement. It was the first thing that I saw. I knew nothing about your movement. I watched you on my TV earlier this week. I thought what you said was pretty intellectual, and I enjoyed what you said. Why unfuck America? Because my semantic question is, how do you unfuck something? Once you have thoroughly done the deed... No, seriously. Once you have done the deed, it's like the Virgin Mary is no longer a virgin after that point. That's just... I just don't know what's your point with that.
Well, you're going to have to ask the people in charge of branding. It's not my name, so sorry. Yeah, my bad.
That's fine.
One last question, and then we got to move on.
Do you agree with that sentiment then? Unfuck America. Could you explain what that means to you? Because with Charlie Kirk and Turning Point, he said, we're going to make a turning point in culture for youth. For you, what does unfuck America mean in your words?
For me personally, I think that right now we are living in, it's already been demonstrated, completely and totally separate realities at this point, to where we can't even agree on what's happened on either side. And if we have an inability to connect on even basic facts, I don't know how we have any conversation to move literally any aspect of the country forward.
Yeah.
So for me, I wish that there was better reporting. I wish that conservatives, weren't so complicit with Donald Trump lying about literally every single thing that comes out of his mouth. I wish that, a lot of the media environment needs to be fixed, especially on the conservative side.
My feeling as an American is like, we are in this position, right or left. We have fucked the country. How do we unfuck it besides a culture war? And I don't know if you know Curtis Yarvin. He's an obscure figure on the right, and he says there is no winning a culture war. And even being here, I applaud the debate, but how do we win a culture war like this, where it's constantly, like you said, we can't even agree on the same facts. So where do you see this going? How do you unfuck something?
I mean, there's a role for tons of different people involved. I mean, it might be advocating for a politician you believe in at some local level, state level, federal level. It might be a guy who makes video essays. It might be people that run political clubs on campuses. But I mean, at some point, people in America are going to have to make better decisions, and decisions with more integrity about what it means to be involved in politics, that it's more than just a hobby or a game, or that it's more than just sniping headlines, or that it's more than just telling whatever lies the most convenient on your side. But I mean, absent people willing to do that, I guess we just continue to go in the direction we're going.
Can I keep talking?
We got to move on. You can line back up, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Best of luck.
Yeah.
I wanted to commend you for doing this. Just getting up in front of people and talking instead of violence is exactly what we need and exactly what both sides should be doing. My question was about something you said earlier this week on the Piers Morgan show. You said, if you wanted Charlie Kirk to be alive, Donald Trump shouldn't have been president for a second term. Why would you say that, and what did you mean by that?
Because I think Donald Trump is constantly using the most violent and the most extreme rhetoric possible. I don't understand how you can continually support somebody who, laughs about people dying in boats in Venezuela, who laughs about bombing Iran, even though we're supposed to be the country of no new wars, a guy who, at every opportunity he has to take a different path, he continues to make statements basically encouraging violence on Fox and friends. They asked him twice if he would disavow violence, and he can't do it without blaming the left or talking about Joe Biden, who makes jokes about invading other countries, who calls all Democrats radical leftist lunatics, who plays games with FEMA, who won't, you know, even have the basic decency to call Tim Walz and you know, give him some condolences over the assassinated Minnesota senators. I mean, like, when you're voting for this over and over again, and you think it's, like, epic and based and hilarious, and then, you know, the political violence in this country has been ramping up over the past, like, 5 years, and nobody is paying attention to it, because anytime it happens on the right, on the conservative side, you guys memory hole it, and you meme it away, and then you come back to hope the next one is about a left-leaning person, and then we'll talk about that, and then here we are, so... How about the Buffalo shooter that had a 180-page manifesto on the Great Replacement Theory? You don't even remember about this. How about the two people that were killed in Minnesota recently by, you know, it wasn't by a leftist. It wasn't absolutely the guy told his whole family to register vote for Trump.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a school shooting that just happened in Colorado. The whole January 6th event from start to finish, all of those convictions were all pardoned by
Trump.
That's
just going to encourage that.
Sorry, what?
It's going to encourage it if you just keep talking to the crowd.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what we're here for.
You mentioned the Buffalo shooter. Such a minuscule fraction of centrists and right-wing people that are going to support somebody like that. That is, some of those things are on the left, but some of them are also on the right. Neither radical is good. But when you go on a show like that and you say, all right, one of the major two parties, there were two candidates, you elected one, and because of that, Charlie Kirk was shot. You should have elected my candidate. That is exactly what it sounds like you're saying.
I didn't say you have to elect my candidate. There are other people.
I don't agree
in the
with everything
well.
Donald Trump says. I don't agree with a lot of what he says or what he does. He should disavow violence. He should do a lot of these things. But going on there and saying, okay, you voted, half of the country that voted for this, you are the reason Charlie died. You should have not voted for this side of the party. That's exactly what it sounds like on national television.
I mean, I'm sorry if that's offensive, but at some point when we grow up, we have to realize that politics
offensive.
Isn't
it's
just
calling
a game.
For violence.
It's offensive. You're offended. You're upset about it. And you should be. But when you vote for people, you're voting for very real things to happen. People getting deported from the country isn't a joke. Doing terrorists that are destroying parts of our economy isn't a joke. Yeah, clap away for it, dipshit. I mean, that's on you. I mean, even you guys as fucking fiancés are getting deported. You guys are, you know, laughing at people going on about it. It's absolutely insane. But I mean, as long as you're willing to clap and laugh and joke about it, that's fine. But don't be surprised, like, when other crazy stuff continues to happen in the country. Like, it's the direction that you're pushing things. So.
Cool beats,
Bo? I'm going to hold them.
Okay. Sorry, one sec. A little stage fright, and I'll get them out.
Just come a little bit more forward. We'll just scooch the lineup.
So real quick, I just wanted to ask, this is kind of the same thing as the last one, so I'll try to be brief, but, you know, I saw some comments from you saying that, you know, in regards to, you know, events like the Charlie Kirk shooting, that conservatives should be afraid to go to such events. Now,
so
just going
on,
to
let
say...
Wait, just because this
oh,
quote...
Oh, please don't like, interrupt the, me, no, good sir.
You can talk as much as you want, okay? The full quote, well, listen to what I'm saying. Yeah. Are we here to talk, or are you here to just fucking me? If you're going to misquote me, I'm going to correct you, right? I think... Thank you, yes. Let me speak, thank you. What I'm saying is that
everybody... I'm
going to get everybody, back to you, I promise. Whatever, sir, I don't make 30-second videos. I'm just Jesse Waters, okay? Can I have my one-on-one conversation? Can I have my one-on-one conversation, please? Let me have my one-on-one conversation, okay? What I said was...
Hold on.
I want the speaker. I want to honor his time. So I need you guys to just, if you want to talk to Stephen, just come up in the line, okay? I want to honor the speaker's time.
No. All I'm saying is that everybody should be afraid of political violence. It's not good. Oh, nobody should share it on you.
I'm sorry. I was speaking, you know. It must have been hard to tell because you were talking. But, no. All right, settle down. I'm not that funny. Now, in regard to those comments, which I just mentioned, I guess first, how is that unfucking America? Second, that seems like a horrible thing to say. And third, was it worth getting fired from Twitch?
So my Twitch ban was 3 years ago. You're the dipshit who fell for that because you couldn't bother to fact check anything like you don't do with any conservative media. Ironically enough, the thing I was banned from Twitch for had to do with attacking trans people. So, you know, double irony there. For your other two questions, I never made that quote, so I have nothing to respond to. So what's the next person?
Yep.
Oh, yeah?
Then what about the lawsuit right now for showing some girl's nudes to someone that you're
in? Listen, anybody can file a civil lawsuit for any reason. What about the lawsuit where your president was held civilly liable for raping a woman? Seems like you don't care much about lawsuits, so go ahead. do the next one. I thought it was one question, right? I don't need this guy. Yeah, go do the next one. Next question. Go.
Next question.
Nat, go for it.
Who says I voted for him? I do.
Hi, Destiny. Thank you for seeing me. I appreciate it. And this has got to be pretty surreal after what's happened. But my one question to you is actually evolving around what you did say on your platform. And my question is, when you said that conservatives should be afraid, what was your intended message behind that? Because when I watched you... Hold up. Wait one second, please. Because when I watched you say that, the way that you said that, that doesn't seem like a good message to spread to anybody.
Sure. So where did you see me say that at?
It was online. I can't remember. I don't know if it was Twitch or
so
whatever.
It wasn't
exactly.
My stream, yeah?
Okay. Well, I saw it.
No, that's fine. But this is part of the problem.
So why did you say conservatives should be afraid? I saw the full context. It wasn't snipped. You said that word for word.
Why do you think I said it?
I want to ask you. That's why I'm here.
No, I'm asking you.
It is your thought. I want to know what you meant, Destiny. You made the statement, not I. I'm asking for clarity. So tell me.
Okay. For a side that can have endless interpretation and charity for every single instance,
why can't you tell me what you mean?
Your question, but it's a deeply unserious question given the endless amount of charity you have
question,
for every
Destiny.
Unbelievably insane statement that was said on your side from literally every
what
single conservative you guys have talked. So what
asking,
I meant was,
you
I'm,
don't
I'm
know what
question.
Side I am on, Destiny.
I'm
asking you
question.
A genuine question.
Can I answer?
Conversation.
Can I answer?
Will you answer it then?
Yeah, I'm answering it right now. But you're talking. You must not have heard me because you were speaking at the same time.
Please tell me.
So the answer is that everybody in this country should be afraid of political violence. It's not good when we start killing each other because of politics. That's a really bad thing. And it feels like right now, the conservative side isn't asking anybody on their side to tone it down. So it seems like they're not worried about political violence. That's the issue. You guys have all this energy for everybody on the left about disavowing political violence, and you have nothing to say to your leader, to the leader of your party.
What? You didn't answer my question. What was your intended meaning behind it? No, you said everybody should. What was your intention behind it? Why did you say it?
The intention is that people need to realize that political violence doesn't look good for anybody in this country. People need to have that understanding. People need to have that awareness. People need to be afraid
that,
like, a civil war is not a fun thing. People killing each other.
That's not how you said it.
Why are you asking me for my thoughts? Why don't you just fill in the blanks then? Go ahead.
Thank you for your time.
That's right now. Yeah, you go ahead and post it yourself. Deeply unserious.
Hi, I was just wondering what you would think about how, if John Lennon was alive, and think about what just happened, and the fact that we're not doing anything to respect his legacy, and the fact that we're freaking pissing on his grave.
Wait, John Lennon?
Yes. He was an activist.
Well, I hated the Beatles. I don't have anything good to say for myself. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion about John Lennon. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'm gonna hold it. Yeah.
I can't hold it.
It's just easier.
I like to, you know.
Yeah.
So, what is your name exactly? Who are you?
Stephen Bonnell.
Okay. So, I understand you're trying to get your 50 minutes of fame, but it's fucking disrespectful.
It's 15 years, but go ahead.
Okay. Before I ask you fucking questions, I want to understand what kind of person you are. How many genders are there?
However many you want there to be.
How many are there?
Well, I thought it was male and female, but apparently after today it's male, female, and snowflake, so I guess I'd go with three.
I bet you have really high estrogen levels, don't you?
I don't know why. You want to fuck me? Do you have a question? Or Jesus Christ. You guys think about trans people more than the people that... Jesus.
I'm ready.
You got a question? For real? I'm going to take it if you don't.
Do black lives matter?
Sure. Why?
Okay. Thank you.
Whoa, she's trying to silence me!
Come on.
That's what y'all do, y'all silence people because y'all can't fucking handle the truth.
Who's silencing? Jimmy Kimmel just got kicked off ABC because...
I'll cheer for it.
One more question.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna say... No. Charlie Party Kirk's life me, fucking matter! Charlie's Kirk's fucking life matter!
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I just request for this question, just no heckling, because I just want to have like a real conversation here. Like, I'm not here to attack anyone, or if they say I'm right or anyone's wrong. I'm trying to just bring about a constructive dialogue. I want to abandon this partisan bullshit that is making people homicidal towards each other. We're not heading in a good direction, as we see here. People are angry. People are pissed. I saw what happened last week. It was horrifying. I couldn't believe it. And I saw everyone mocking his death, pissing on his grave, and that was horrible. And then I saw everyone on the right getting even more pissed off and radicalized and angry and hurling slurs at each other, saying horrible things back and forth. And I've never seen anything like that in my life. And how do we just form that peaceful dialogue? How do we get through this, bro? Because we're on the verge of a civil war. I wouldn't have come here otherwise. I'm fucking scared. I came here all the way from Florida. I want to get through this.
I mean, nobody likes cancer, but I mean, like, the right has to be willing to take accountability for things and to, like, disavow.
We all have to condemn all political violence across the spectrum.
We've been doing that, though. That's been doing that for the past decade.
We all have to. Everyone.
It's not, you can't, it's the both sides thing just doesn't work anymore. It's like a boat rowing with one paddle. Like, the left can row harder and harder, but we sort of go around in circles until the right is willing to actually come out and say, hey, everybody, including us, everybody needs to tone it down. I'm not even saying to say it to themselves personally. Like, everybody has to do it. Donald Trump cannot condemn violence in this country without also talking about the radical left and Joe Biden. He can't do it.
Agreed, and I wish he would stop that rhetoric. Even though I understand that, and you know, there's a lot of left-wing like radicalism and right-wing radicalism. I see it online, and the truth is, I think that there's like a lot of left and right-wing fringes, right, that are comprised of like minors and shit. And I think they just get like really like radicalized, and they see the other fringes, right? They see the other side, and they like radicalize each other, and they start believing that like everyone on the right of their spectrum is like that. And you start getting these like radicalized kids doing this shit, like we just saw last week, like murdering Charlie Kirk, bro. I think it's a real conversation that needs to be had. I just want to...
Yeah, but the problem is we have to have an honest conversation about it. The reality is, like, when there was supposedly a threat from Iran to assassinate Trump, Biden increased his Secret Service detail. After the assassination attempt against Trump, which was by a registered Republican, Joe Biden didn't make it political. He allotted even more security to Donald Trump, and he told everybody in the United States they needed to calm down. After this last shooting happened with Charlie Kirk, in like 12 hours, the right wing had spun up, including Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Nancy Mace and Stephen Crowder and Matt Walsh and every other alternative media line had spun up an entire conspiracy theory about who the guy was before we knew anything about it. Both sides are not equal here. The right has an inability to like critically analyze itself. They think that they're righteous in all of their anger and in all of their fury. And as long as that's like going to be a driving force, like one side can't force civility. It has to come from both sides. So until somebody's willing to like sit down and have an honest conversation about that, we're just going to keep. Yeah, no.
I agree. That's what
Charlie Kirk is on his program talking about Joe Biden being executed for treason. Yes, right. Like, I'm sorry, but you're delusional if you think your side has done anything to try to turn down the violence. It's just not true.
And that conversation that you want to have, like, I also want to have. I mean, are we going to be talking, like, after this? Like, is there going to be groups after? Like, I genuinely just want to have a conversation about this, get full context. Because the truth is, let me just say one thing. It's crazy how, like, on social media, you like one or two right-wing posts, all you see is everything from the right, and vice versa. You like one or two left-wing posts, all you see is from the left. And I think that, like, the mainstream media, bro. I think that social media, I think it's specifically designed to just kind of program us to like hate each other and beat each other's throats, and so we don't focus on like the common enemy at the top, you know? I just really, you know, I don't want any violence, but like there's talks of civil war, this like anger, this wrath I'm seeing, you know, it's we gotta tone it down. We don't want to live in a bloodbath. That's not good for anyone.
I mean, I agree 100%.
That's all I'm here to really say. That's just my main point. And I want us to get through this. I want us all to get through this as a country. I'm fucking scared. I wouldn't have come all the way here from Florida if I wasn't so fucking scared. I've never seen anything like that, like on my timeline. I just couldn't believe it. And also, let me just say, I think we need to just stop going after one another and targeting each other, because the truth is, when we start going after each other and cornering each other, we're kind of forcing like our adversaries to become more radical, more irrational, because now their lives are at risk. You know what I mean? Now there's like a conflict of interest. So if you really want to have like an honest conversation about this and get through this as a nation, I think we need to stop, you know, piling on each other, calling for people to go to prison. Like, I'm not about that. You know, obviously a lot of people across the political spectrum sometimes get carried away and will say things that could imply violence, but like, I don't think we need to go down that road of imprisoning everything, because that's just, we don't want to go down that road. So let's just temper everything down and have a conversation. That's all I want.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope we can all do that. Yeah.
I'm just gonna say it. It's about that. I wanted to understand. Can I take it a second?
Of course.
I'm just ready to.
Oh, well, I wanted to say I'm proud to... I'm not scared. I'm proud to be an American. I'm really grateful that you're here to have this conversation. And I think that you're right. I think that we're living in two different realities from the right and the left. For a long time, I was on the left, and I've been a registered independent my entire life. And then after January 6th, actually, I became way more conservative, and I support the right. And in my opinion... looking and listening to what Charlie Kirk had to say, which I listened to him all the time, I don't think he was spreading any hate at all. I think he was stating the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I also feel that Donald Trump did in fact condemn this violence inside of his initial address when Charlie Kirk was first shot, and or whenever he was pronounced dead, and then he addressed the nation. He said that there's no room for political violence on either side. Now, certainly, just like as we know, Charlie Kirk was starting to see the truth and opening his eyes. We don't support Trump, and we do see him as probably compromised. I mean, the majority of people who supported him do see this, but that doesn't change the fact that how are we supposed to have civil conversations? How do you want to unfuck America? Somebody asked you that in good faith, and I didn't hear a really good answer from you. And I don't understand how we're living on two different realities, because I would love to understand and see the facts that you're seeing. I just don't see it. Like, I see more... You were talking about Kamala Harris, and you're like, how many people were pardoned from the BLM riots? How much money did Kamala Harris raise in order to get them out of jail? Like, how many of them were even prosecuted?
What do you think Kamala Harris did in terms of raising money for people?
Oh, it was still on her Twitter. Like,
Kamala Harris tweeted like one thing saying, like, here's a bail fund to donate to. I think I got like 100 likes.
Well, no, but you're sitting here talking about how it's important for Donald Trump to use his platform to whatever. Listen, but Kamala Harris used hers to get people who were committing violence out of the jail. So irregardless, they weren't even getting prosecuted. So let's move on from this.
Sure. Well,
please tell me how we're going to unfuck. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. So number one, a lot of people did get prosecuted related to BLM riots. Number one. Number two. There's nothing wrong with a bail fund. If somebody wants to raise money to bail people out, that's fine. Number three, if you want to talk about horrific statements related to bail funds, Charlie Kirk was literally saying that people should get to a bail for the guy that attacked Paul Pelosi, and then it'd be funny to bail him out of jail and ask him a bunch of questions, which was infinitely more disgusting than just tweeting a link to a bail fund from Kamala Harris's account.
Okay, whatever. If you want to say that that's worse, that's okay. That's for you to see it. But how am I supposed to find the facts the way that you do? Because to me, it seems like you're a byproduct of the liberal indoctrination that's taking over this nation.
The problem is you'll never see it because most people, Charlie Kirk included, are too scared to have critical conversations about it. So
He literally died to do so. How dare you?
Talking to college kids.
What?
Talking to college kids.
Who are you talking to right now?
Why don't you see any conservatives? College kids are the only people that I talk to.
Oh my gosh, this is the same talking point. Hold on.
This is not the same talking point.
Heckler's in the back. Give me a second. I'm on a roll here. Give me a second. Listen, we already heard these talking points when you were on Piers Morgan. We already heard these talking points, so why don't you give us a legitimate answer? How do you want to unfuck America? I'll unfuck America with you. Let's go. How's it going to happen?
How about you have people debate more than just unprepared college kids? How about you have conservatives actually step up and accept debates from people like me, Sam Cedar, from other people in the media?
Okay, great. I'm here right now. Let's go.
What?
Let's set up more events. I'm here right now. Let's go.
Yeah, sure. Give me any debater you want in the world, and I will debate them on any topic related to our current
political discourse. Yeah, with your whataboutisms and coming back up with, this is so much worse coming from the other side. I haven't heard anything of substance. Sir, I'm okay to change my mind, but I haven't heard anything worth it.
We can go through January 6th if you want. Donald Trump and his administration openly said that they were going to circumvent the Electoral Count Act. They openly said they wanted to break the law. They fabricated 7 different certificates of electors from 7 different states. They had them submit them to Mike Pence to beg him to vote for Trump to be president instead of the people who rightfully won. He called every single person to the Capitol on January 6th with the hopes of having a violent insurrection, which he did, in the hopes of delaying the Electoral Count Act, which he did for the first time in all of U.S. history. And while he sat there and watched the Capitol burn, a man who said that he couldn't call the D.C. police there, even though now he's done it without D.C. really wanting it, he sat there and he watched it burn. He tried to take advantage of the circumstances in order to get the election, you know, voted his way. And then after all of it failed, after everybody went to jail, after people were convicted of stuff, including a seditious conspiracy, he came into the White House and he pardoned all of them. I mean, like, these are facts that aren't even contested. All the charging documents are public. The jury decisions are public. Everything about this is public. There's nothing...
Exactly. Well, and there is more to that whole story, and that's a regurgitation regurgitation of everything that's being perpetuated by the media. But if you look at the facts of that day and the way that everything lines up, actually, we don't have the full details in story. Those people were walking through as if it was a White House tour. I know a bunch of people that were there that day, and it wasn't an insurrection. That's a really bad insurrection if nobody had a gun.
Why? It was a successful insurrection. They delayed the count of the vote. They delayed the certification of the vote for the first time in U.S. history. That was a successful delay. What do you mean? It worked.
What worked?
And they managed to delay the certification of the vote.
That was not an insurrection.
They delayed the certification of the vote. That was the goal for them going there. What else were they protesting? It was January 6th. It was time to certify.
No, that's not what they were protesting. They were protesting the efficacy of the election in its entirety.
Over. Had 62 court cases. He lost every single one.
No, they did not lose every single one. He wasn't seen, and the adequate details weren't actually brought up. And I actually work in cyber, and what was brought up in that Arizona court is a bunch of baloney, and they adequately had proof that there was malicious intention, and it was the logs from that NAC should have been able to be retrieved, and they were only deleted from the time it was supposed to be turned off.
If you're not willing to believe the courts, if you're not willing to believe the J6 committee that was bipartisan, if you're not willing to believe a number of like independent investigators, media people have all looked into, like, you're not going to believe anything besides what you see on, I don't know, on Breitbart
Sir, I don't agree with you. I ask critical questions, and that's the reason why I'm still open to all of this here, and that's the reason why I'm skeptical, and I'm not going to believe what the mass media is telling me.
Just the mass media on the right. You just happen to have the exact same
sir,
as
I don't,
every single right winger on this issue. Just randomly, that's where you wound
up. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. And that's all you got. That's your big guns. I'll pray for you. I really wish you the best. Thank you. Thank you.
So first of all, Destiny, I do agree with you. People do live in two different realities, because one side can tell us that there's only two genders, male and female, and the other side doesn't know how many there are. I'm going to start there. But my question to you is this. If Charlie Kirk was such a harmful figure to America, then why did his death trigger such a massive outpouring of support across political lines, even from people who never agreed with him? And I'm one of those. There are several issues with Charlie that I disagreed with, but doesn't that prove that he tapped into something real about the failures of our system that you are unwilling to acknowledge?
No.
So here's proof you were unwilling to acknowledge. You went on Piers Morgan and said that you wouldn't disavow his death until the President of the United States did it first. Why would you care what a man you didn't even vote for have to say first before you disavow
his
death?
Because he's my president.
No, you didn't vote for him, Destiny. You didn't vote for the man.
It doesn't matter. He's still my president. I wouldn't want Joe Biden to encourage violence against people on the right, which he didn't.
But your argument...
I wouldn't want him to revoke security clearances or security details for people on the right, which he didn't. So why can't Donald Trump do the same for me? He's supposed to be president for all Americans.
He did, though. The young lady that was just up here before me said that right after it happened, he said we need to not have political
violence. He said the radical left Democrats were the ones causing it.
Well, the one that killed Charlie was a radical leftist.
You don't know that. You have no
idea.
We
don't know that. That's what came out.
A radical leftist with no crazy chat history, with no evidence of radicalization, with no anything.
So you haven't seen any of the evidence that has already come out that admitted that he was a man that would become radicalized. His own father stated he became radicalized within the last year and a half.
But where?
He stated that he... What do you mean, where?
Where did he become... Where are the logs? Your chat has anything being radicalized anywhere. Where's a single
you
radical
don't look
statement
at,
this guy's
made? First of all, don't look at Candace Owens. She's already started the investigation. Secondly, this is already public information. His father was the one that already turned him in, and his father stated this was happening. And what was the guy's name that he's dating? I forget the guy's name. Was it Lance Twiggs? Is that it, Lance Twiggs? He cooperated with police. That was the man's boyfriend. And he stated that he noticed that the title was becoming more and more radical as time was passing. Yes, he was raised in a Republican environment, but he drifted further and further to the left. So why can't you stand there and admit that there are radical leftists that want to see people like Charlie put in the ground? And by the way, you know what's so interesting?
These are two different questions. If you're going to ask me to tell you that there are radical left people that would do violence in this country, of course there are. We've seen them before. I'm not going to sit here and deny that. That's obviously true.
You would deny
so
it
you
on
admit, hold on. Do you admit that there are radical right people that
they're absolutely radical white people, but that is not the point, Destiny. You literally went on one of the largest platforms that we know of on Piers Morgan.
And I said, I want
you
to disavow violence, and I want the President of the United States to
do it. You shouldn't have to wait for a man you didn't vote for.
When you guys don't do it, you have to have the other side do it. It can't be one side doing it. Why don't you understand that?
When the President of the United States gets on television and disavows it immediately after it happens, that's not good enough. What exactly is it that you want Trump to say?
Fox and Friends, they begged him to disavow two separate times, and he couldn't do it.
Who begged Trump to do it? Who begged him to disavow?
I don't know. Whoever the names of the guys on Fox and Friends are.
So you don't know it, but now you can say it.
Charlie Kirk's fans want revenge. What do we do?
You know what's so interesting as a black man? One thing I noticed about Charlie Kirk's death, there wasn't rioting in the streets like it was after George Floyd. That's the one thing that I noticed about Charlie Kirk's death. And it's so interesting that you want to cherry pick and nitpick and use odd examples that benefit you, but you deliberately want to have blind vision to see that the radical left ideology that has been influencing this country for the past 20 years led to the death of Charlie Kirk.
Why did the DOJ remove from their website the study on radical politically inspired violence over the past decade?
I have no knowledge.
You don't know anything about that?
No. Okay. I have no knowledge of that.
How convenient. I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
Of course you don't. Because
yeah,
with the
sorry,
fact,
I didn't follow
because
that.
Because you
want to
live in fiction.
Yeah.
And this is
what do you think about the Buffalo shooter that had 180-page manifesto about the Great Replacement Theory that went and shot and killed and live-streamed itself killing black people?
I think that that's wrong, Destiny. I think that that's wrong.
Why can't the president say this?
He already said it, but he didn't say it enough to you, apparently.
Why is it that in the Oval Office, when somebody asked him, they said, when you guys were having this day of remembrance for Charlie Kirk, the flag being flown at half staff, why nothing about any of the lawmakers in Minnesota that were shot? And he said, I don't know anything about that. I didn't hear anything about that. How is that possible?
What do you mean, how is that possible?
I didn't know anything about that. You didn't know anything about that.
I didn't tell you about it. That's the whole point.
That's the problem. You don't know what he doesn't tell you to know about.
Destiny.
He tells you to care about illegal immigrants and trans people. You guys are out here talking about girl dick all day. Like, of course. What do you mean?
Destiny.
I've had three of you guys up here talking about how many genders there are. Like, you guys are in your bedrooms thinking about this all day long. It's crazy to me.
I'm going to say this. It amazes me. It absolutely amazes me the state of delusion that the left, that the far right, the far leftists live in. You can't even admit that what happened to Kirk, you literally stated that Charlie Kirk would not have been assassinated if Trump wouldn't have been elected to a second term. If you don't think that's violent language, then I don't even know what the point is in talking.
Is it violent language when Charlie Kirk said, I think that Biden should be executed for treason?
He never said that?
That's it? Okay, yeah, you conveniently don't know anything when the right is radical. Okay.
I can't help you. I'm going to ask you questions, okay? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, whatever you want.
What are your thoughts on transgenders?
I don't think about transgenders.
Do you think transgenders should be able to own guns?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. It's a Second Amendment right, yeah.
You guess?
It's a Second Amendment right, no?
Why do they keep on shooting fucking schools then?
Aren't the most common schools white guys? Why the fuck should they be disallowed from owning guns?
Do you think that being transgender is a mental illness?
I don't have an opinion on this right now.
Do you think
most school shooters were white men?
It's all part of the narrative, dude.
Yeah, the narrative.
It's all part of the narrative, and you know it.
Go ahead, preach. We're interested
you
right
know
now.
It.
Go ahead.
They said that the guy that shot Charlie was a Republican.
Can you answer me this?
He wasn't.
Trans people are such effective assassins. Why'd we kick them all out of the military?
Looking at this one right here, I want to get this fucking thing a gun.
Get the out of here. Get this fucking loser out of here. Are you serious? Why are you pointing out people in the audience and bullying people? Are you serious? I'm up here, okay? Make fun of me, all right?
What's up, not so erudite?
Hi.
What's up, Stephen?
Hey, what's up, man?
I have noticed as people are talking, you've got a lot of caricatures. You think they get their information from certain echo chambers. You think everyone here has a certain voting pattern or party affiliation. I just want you to know that I was a lifelong Democrat. I was raised by Democrats because apparently that matters. And I knocked my knuckles bloody for Democratic candidates all throughout my teens and early 20s before I eventually came to be where I am now. What I've found is that I've actually read and digested a lot more information from across the spectrum than a lot of the people that have started to recently call me names. But here's my point. In school, we were all taught that Nazis are bad, right? Fascism is the ultimate evil, and we should do anything to stop fascism by any means necessary. A lot of us internalized that message, and around 2016, I started to see that message becoming weaponized against other people within this country. It turned internal. It started with punch a Nazi. I remember the distinction very clearly. I remember looking at some of my friends who used to agree with me about things like free speech and having them explain to me why it was valid to punch a Nazi, etc. And I can see a very clear chain up to where we are today, even if you don't. So here's my question, Stephen. What is a Nazi?
In the historical sense or in the current,
what is a Nazi to you today in America? Because I've heard you use that term a lot. What do you mean when you call people Nazis?
I don't think I use the term Nazi a lot. I don't think the only person I usually use it about is in regards to like Sam Hyatt, who's like a neo-Nazi. I usually just use the term fascist, which is what, an authoritarian ultra-nationalist?
What is a fascist to you?
Sure, an authoritarian ultra-nationalist, basically, dictator-ish person. I mean, usually it's going to be a list of policies or behaviors that
Do you think that the people disagreeing with you here tonight are fascists?
Probably not, but most of them seem to support a fascist in office right now, so... But I mean, like, we can have differences in political beliefs, just like how the Republicans spent all of Obama's presidency calling him a communist, right? Coming out of the Cold War and the Red Scare and everything else. Like, there was a
right.
very
and,
precise
and I appreciated her video recently disavowing the communists that have infiltrated your party, but that's not my point here. Okay. What does Bella Chow mean to you?
What is what?
What is Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow, Chow?
I think it was a song in a video game, Far Cry 6, and in some TV show that was popularized recently.
Okay, now you're intentionally lying, and you know the answer to that
yeah,
question, so thank you for
lying?
That.
Yeah.
You know what Bella Chow is, and, okay. And so does everybody here.
I think the 22-year-old Mormon white kid, I think, was radicalized in 6 months by his gay roommate, actually. That's
got
what
it.
I think. Yeah.
What does Hey Fascist Catch mean to you?
It's a reference to a Helldivers 2 video game.
Oh, it's about a video game, right? It has no connection to Nazism or Punch a Nazi or
no,
any
actually,
of those other
the
terms.
Guy was a secret fascist. We just some reason haven't uncovered any evidence for it whatsoever, despite the fact that we have his Discord account, his text messages with friends, and nothing else has been leaked to us to show it besides writings on the bullets, which also all happen to coordinate or correlate to video games and media references. But
got it. Well, thank you. If this is the quality of your intellect, I think I should start streaming. I guess I could get pretty rich doing it. Thank you.
Hi. So I just want to start off with just a discussion about political violence in general or polarization between these two, I guess, parties. So first, I want to acknowledge that Charlie Kirk's assassination was political violence. And I am very left-wing. I'm on the left. I have a lot of left-wing friends. Most of my friends are left. But I have to admit that after this happened, I did see calls for more violence. I saw jokes, and I think that's wrong. I think that's also political violence, and it's polarizing. And I also have to admit the things that Charlie Kirk has said have hurt my community, too. I mean, after he was shot, the first thought I had was, I'm scared for my trans community members. There's probably going to be backlash against them, and some of the stuff he has said has, I think, caused some backlash. There's a reason that the United States of America ranks third in trans feminicide, that's murders of trans women. There's a reason that our country accounts for 70% of feminicides in the most wealthy countries in our nation, that's the killing of women because they are women. There's a reason that we have a missing and murdered Indigenous women's crisis. Our Indigenous women are missing and murdered at alarming rates. There's a reason that Black people keep getting shot by our police again and again and again. There's a reason that we have homeless people dying on our streets. There's a reason that we have kids dying in our schools. This is political violence. What I also want to say is, I've heard you debate with these people, with our community members. All of us are members of this community, and all I've heard is just further polarization of saying, no, it's you on the right causing this. It's your leader. I don't care who, you know, our leaders are, because they don't care about us. If they cared about us, we would not be having our women killed. We would not be having our community members dying on the street. We would not all be working our asses off and not able to pay our families to have food. We would not all be working our asses off and not be able to afford health care. None of these people, you know, care about us. So how can we all agree on something? Who cares what they think up there? Who cares what our politicians think? What's something that we all can agree on as a nation to just, you know, fuck them, let's get together, and what can we work on together?
In the United States of America, every individual is allotted a single vote, and that is an awesome responsibility that I feel like, for some reason, a lot of the country has neglected lately. The idea that both sides are the same in terms of policy for helping the average person is just not true. Kamala Harris had an idea related to tax credits for children. You can laugh if you don't have any kids, that's fine, but for people that need the money, like, the stuff matters, right? When Biden was president, we had an extended child tax credit. That went away under conservatives. When Biden was president, you know, we weren't, you know, pushing to renew all of the Trump tax cuts for wealthy people, which Trump did, and now apparently the deficit that was supposed to be a big deal doesn't matter anymore. All of the help is going to wealthier people. All of the help is going to businesses. All of the help is going to bailing out his friends. When we tried to get a single-payer option, or at least like a public option, in the United States, it wasn't Democrats that stood against that, it was the Republicans. The ACA that we only got that much of it because the Democrats were willing to push for it. So if your take is just, and I understand it, especially for young people who haven't interfaced much, I guess, with the world outside of school, but like, I mean, even for school loans and stuff, like, it's not like Democrats are the ones trying to get rid of those, it's Republicans that are trying to fight against higher education.
No, it's both, man. Like, it's both, and okay, I asked,
I mean, like,
about what's
that,
something
but,
that
like,
we can agree on. You talked about politicians, so I'll answer myself. Something that we all can agree on together is that we love our nation. You gotta love something before you can fix it. We love like these beautiful mountains out here in Colorado, our rivers, you know, everything. We love it, so whatever. He's not gonna answer, but I'll answer.
Right. If you don't have a strong opinion on it, then don't vote. Did I voted 10 times for Biden? All of my legal names. There it is, yep.
I'm not. Should have been 11.
Hi, Destiny. So since kind of the 1970s, 1980s, kind of through the 1990s, we've seen this deindustrialization in the United States, and it's led to the complete downturn and downfall of a lot of places, especially in the Midwest. And I think, you know, both political parties have kind of abandoned a lot of these people, especially in places like Gary, Indiana. So my question is, what do you think the government or politicians should do to help support these communities? Because I think they're just kind of forgotten about completely, but they're Americans, they're hard workers who lost their jobs, and I think these are people struggling from opioid abuse, drug addiction, alcoholism, all this stuff, and I think they just need help.
Are you familiar with the Obama's quote, they cling to their religion and their guns? You heard that one before?
I have, yes, sir.
You have any idea what the context of that quote is?
I'm not sure now.
So in 2008, Obama was in it was a closed door conversation he was having with donors. And one of the things that came up was Obama had felt like over the past decades, since NAFTA basically, that there was this hollowing out of the industrial base in kind of the middle class in the Midwest especially, and in kind of the Rust Belt. And he said that administration after administration had ignored basically the needs of these people, that they didn't have jobs that they could work anymore, they didn't have things that they could contribute to and feel proud of, that these places that were these like massive manufacturing centers of cars, you know, places like Detroit, were hollowed out and they had nothing. And he said that in that environment, it shouldn't surprise people that they, you know, cling to religion and their guns and become anti-immigrant or whatever else, because it feels like the entire world has left them behind. Obama was, and I feel like the Democrats have been willing to have that conversation. Coming into office, McConnell said his goal was to make Democrat a one-term president. And McConnell said that was his goal for Obama, was to make him a one-term president. And you've seen over and over again, when Trump was in office in term one, there was like nothing in terms of legislation. There was like I think they got the tax cuts, and then I think some first step back for crime, but not, like, nothing really. They wanted to do an infrastructure bill, they couldn't do it. They talked about repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, they couldn't do it. There was just nothing. Biden comes in, and aside from the American Rescue Plan, which fills the coffers of every single, you know, state and local government budget, you know, we had the Infrastructure Act, we had the Inflation Reduction Act, we had so much legislation that poured so much money into so many different projects. And now that Trump is back, we have nothing again. He's trying to defund some of the investments that were made for that. He's trying to take credit for other parts. And now he's tariffed, you know, every single country in the world, which is just going to hurt, again, like the middle class. It's causing a rise in inflation, an increase in unemployment at the same time, and a decrease in our GDP, the overall amount of stuff we're making. All I'm trying to say is, I know it's like boring numbers, but this problem, making progress in our country from the governmental front, will never be fixed when it feels like one side treats politics as a reality TV show that's just here to get clicks over and over again for it. Like, I feel like the Democratic Party, I can point to legislation, I can point to policies, I can point to positions, I can point to things they've done to measurably improve what's going on in this country. And then on the Republican side, it's all just like a big joke. It's just like executive orders renaming the Department of Defense, the Department of War, videos of Noam Christie in front of immigration cages. Like, how is Alligator Alcatraz supposed to help manufacturing in the Rust Belt? Or, you know, how is another bombing of Iran for Israel supposed to help us, you know, make more cars or bring back some kind of decency to the middle class? Like, I don't know. I don't know why people keep equating the same sides on both of these places.
Listen, I agree. And I think I was talking about how I feel. I agree there's, you know, it may lean more towards Republicans. Absolutely. I'm not, you know, like a Republican or anything. But I'm more curious about what you think. I understand the policies of the Democrats. I understand the policies or ideas of the Republicans. I'm curious what you think about this issue. I don't want to hear about Trump or Biden. I understand their policies. I support some of the stuff Biden did, absolutely. But I want to hear your position, please. That's all I'm asking for. Respectfully.
I mean, in regards specifically to manufacturing?
I think
one of the issues, I mean, depending on the conversation, one of the issues is we have to understand that there are certain ways that the economy is modernizing and it will probably never take a step back. Like, even if we bring back manufacturing now, like, those jobs are going to engineers or people, you know, manning robots or whatever. So
The problem is that, like, the tempting thing to say on the Democratic side is there needs to be some kind of, like, welfare redistribution or whatever to people that are in these cities in order to, you know, help them who can't work because they can't keep up with whatever the current economy is. But the reality is nobody really wants that, right? Like, if you have a job and you create things, you don't want to just be a welfare recipient who does nothing. Like, you want some kind of job or something to work at. I feel like there could be, like, it has to be some kind of investment into some combination of, like, education or job training, but it has to be geared towards, like, a certain group of people. But it has to be, like, an honest conversation. It can't just be, you know, like, I think for a while liberals were, you know, like, oh, everybody can just go learn to code. Like, that's probably not going to happen. But also on the other side, it can't just be, well, we're just going to tariff the entire world until we manufacture things at home again. Like, that's not going to happen either. Even if we did manufacture things here, it's going to be robots making them. So, it would be some complicated, probably, combination of retraining and education and investment in, like, certain regions of the country, but that would be the way forward, yeah.
Well, I appreciate your answer, and I'd also like to say quickly, I agree that I don't think manufacturing can come back. I think we're decades past that. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Oh, both? Okay. Hey, so we talked on stream last week, and I think you can tell I'm progressive. Anything you're about to say about Trump, like, we both agree on that. You're preaching to the choir. So I don't think that your disavowal is going to change his rhetoric. That's very obvious. What I'm curious is what your end goal is. If you're trying to hold up a mirror to the Trump administration, are you trying to advocate that our politicians have the same rhetoric of not disavowing violence? Because the way I see this, you have a very influential position. You've got an audience of people who are willing to hear you. And when we were on stream together, it sounded to me like you said Republicans should be more afraid. You can tell these people it was out of context. Maybe I misinterpreted you. But if I'm charitable to you and I hear that, what do you think the millions of people who hear you are going to see? Because I see that just as dangerous as Hassan promoting a Houthi who you rail against.
Yeah, I don't think it's a serious question. I don't believe that you can have that feeling and then watch Donald Trump go on air over and over.
You're preaching to the choir, please. Can you do it without talking about Donald Trump? I think everything you're about to say about Trump is true.
I think I've made my position clear a million times. I think I disavowed violence a million fucking times.
Okay, but why are you not doing it now?
What?
Why not?
I have before. I have the past. Okay. I will not going to.
What's your goal? Is it for clicks?
My goal is I'd rather fight about mirror? This and have some semblance of sanity carved out than allow conservatives to hijack another shooting that, if it turns out they don't get the woolgy trans manifesto that they really want, that they're just going to memory hole this one into non-existence like they have every other instance of conservative violence.
Okay, so why not just do that?
I would rather fight here, and I would rather have, for the few people that are left with some semblance of sanity, watch a bunch of people come up to me and say, Destiny, you YouTube influencer, I care more about your opinion on political violence.
Yeah, but I'm not saying, you understand I'm not saying that. I care about your influence.
Sure.
I care the way that if I can take you and I can be charitable to you and I can still say, whoa, this is unhinged. This person might be saying something incredibly dangerous. This person has millions of people. This person is becoming the conservative straw man on Piers Morgan, on CNN, and all these places. That someone in his audience might take the wrong message from that and do something bad with that. So
what do you think
don't you
Jimmy
see that
Kimmel said to get kicked off of ABC?
Why are you bringing up things that you and I agree on?
It doesn't matter what you say to your audience.
It absolutely matters. Do you think that it's okay for Hassan to say I support the Houthi terrorists?
Not only do I not think it's okay to say that, you know, Elon Musk and everybody else posting tweets about the gun tweet that he made. Do you know where that post came from?
Yeah,
it came from my subreddit.
Okay.
So yeah, of course, I've been calling up political violence for as long as I've been a streamer. Obviously, I don't want to get killed.
And so you think everyone who sees you, people who don't know about you, are going
to
see you on these bigger mainstream shows and be like, oh well, I saw this Destiny clip from 7 years ago. It's okay that he's saying it now because I know what his position was then. Like,
7 years ago.
Whatever you say,
even last week, I've constantly said that political violence should not happen in this country. I've said it again.
Right. So is this just for you? Are you saying our politicians should adopt this? Or are you just using it as a way to?
I'm saying that people on the right need to adopt this.
I agree, obviously. But how do you think this is going to happen by your position? What do you think is going to happen?
Enough people
have you accomplished
this?
What?
Some reasonable people on the center will go, hey, that is kind of weird that Donald Trump isn't calling for violence to come down in this country. It's kind of strange. I don't really feel comfortable that my president isn't saying, hey, all of us need to calm down.
What reality do you think these people don't notice that, and that you're highlighting it by not condoning violence?
If we're that far gone, that people on that other side can't do it, then I don't care anymore. I'll just play video games.
Okay. Well, my problem is that you imagine this world as, well, everyone's this online internet tuned in person. Meanwhile, finally, you're on these bigger platforms saying this thing, and this is the first exposure.
Why am I on the platforms?
Because they like the inflammatory rhetoric. That's why
I'm
curious.
Do you think if I said to me, like, guys, there's another one, we all got to come around and disavow? What are you talking about? They just be going to Jimmy Kimmel?
No, but I think
that
a bunch of people watching you who are fans of you, who have stuck around through all the bullshit you've done, are going to be like, oh shit, now he's saying that maybe violence isn't so bad. Maybe conservatives should be afraid. It might take the wrong message from that.
I think I watch my community enough to know what their feelings are on political violence.
This is like the exact opposite of the argument you've made in the past, saying you're responsible for the behavior of community and you need to turn down.
I am responsible for the behavior of the community. If my community was turning into a community of political violence, I would be incredibly worried.
Well, it's only been a couple weeks, so I hope we don't have to see that.
It's been a year since the firefighter shooting, and it's been 10 years.
You didn't advocate for political violence then. You didn't refuse to disavow. You were making fun of people, which you and I can both agree we can mock things.
I'm not advocating for political violence right now. Why would I advocate?
You're refusing to condemn it on screen. You're making people that I f***ing detest look better than you and have the moral high ground. That's how bad it looks.
Then be better. Have some integrity. And
I have the integrity. I'm asking you to have some.
Constantly, when these guys are over here clapping for evangelicals,
why do I have to clean up your shit because you're not responsible enough to just say one thing?
Donald Trump was f***ing a woman after he
You are preaching to the choir. You know I think all of this already. I'm saying that you are part of my community and I need to clean this up. All right, whatever. Type one into the deep state.
I need to hold both. Okay, cool. Okay. Hey. Really fast, I just want to kind of address everybody. I'm so glad that you guys are all here. However, I do want to be able to just have a discussion with this man that unfortunately I do not know. Without all of the background noise and everybody interfering and trying to get their thoughts in, if you have a thought, I think you should come join this line and speak your truth. But do not be trying to join everybody else's conversation. Okay. The first thing I want to ask you about is, earlier I heard you say something, unfortunately it was very loud in here so I couldn't hear it all, about Charlie Kirk and how he was addressing college-age students and that was who he was talking to. I mean, if you could like elaborate, I guess, on what you said, because I didn't get to.
Yeah, there's a lot of the vast majority of the conservative movement right now is absolutely scared to death of having any kind of actual, critical, challenging conversation. So most of them have set up shop just like making a living out of debating college kids. Ben Shapiro did this for a while. Charlie Kirk was doing this. Steven Crowder did it with the Change My Mind stuff. But that's basically exclusively the people that they would have challenging conversations with.
So I want to ask you, why are you so against debating with college kids? We are the future of America. In 30 years, we are the future. We will be running this country in 30 years, whether you like it or not, unfortunately. That is the truth. It is better to educate us now while we are 18 to 25 because our public school system has not.
I'm here debating college kids. I have no problem with people who do it. I just don't like it when people pretend like they're open to debate when the only thing they'll do is debating, you know, less prepared younger people. That's my issue.
I think having
a critical conversation with a college campus is great, I think. Yeah.
I respect that, yeah. My other one is, you know, unfortunately I don't know much about you and I'm not on social media, very rarely at least. So I have not seen it. However, I have heard several things about, you said something about conservatives should be afraid to come to movements or things like this. And I kind of want to ask you the context and what the full thing said was, because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so as somebody who goes to events and does events like this, when I saw Charlie Kirk get shot, that's an incredibly horrifying event. The first instinct is seeing a colleague getting killed is always an incredibly, it's hard to explain, like the very weird feeling, the very not good feeling you get watching it, number one. And then number two, there's like obviously this fear of, you know, well, is this going to happen to me or somebody else that I know, a close friend or whatever else at an event. These are like horrifying things to me. When I see a leader go on stage and stoke the flames, it makes it feel to me like the other side is not taking the violence seriously, like it's just a joke or a game. And the statement that I made, if you watch the full statement, I say this exactly, right? That like people need to be afraid of the possibility of us going to civil war. And right now it feels like conservatives just have no fear of political violence because, again, more people are interested in shouting at me to disavow some, you know, whatever shooter, and have no interest in telling Donald Trump to issue statements saying all of us need to calm it down. If Biden was the president right now, and I, you know, saw the same shooting happen, and Biden came on TV and he was like, these radical MAGAs are out here stirring up trouble all the time, I'd be like, bro, you need to chill out. You're going to get me killed. This is absolutely insane. It's unhinged. And the fact that all of the Republicans are applauding along and saying things like civil war and stuff, and it's like, it feels like, yeah, like there's no fear there. Like people need to be afraid of civil war, of any kind of fight like this. It's not good. It's not fun. It's not romantic or sexy like it is in movies. And I feel like that fear doesn't exist at all on the right now. I'm not saying that people need to kill people on the right or people people need to go and commit violence. That's right. I'm just saying that all of us should have a healthy fear of what like a violent political future looks like. And I think for the most part, we've all lived a privileged enough life to not see that as much in the United States, although we've been tending a lot more in that direction recently.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with that. The Republicans that unfortunately are in the public eye, right? There is a very select group of people who are in the public eye who are constantly under microscope being watched. That is what you see, and I do kind of agree that they do not seem afraid for our country. However, as you know, a young 21-year-old woman who is, I hate going into this part, but you know, tall, blonde, thin. I am usually the number one stereotype to go into sex trafficking. It is just straight facts. And it is a terrifying thought that I already now conceal carry because I'm scared to go anywhere alone. I am always watching my surroundings, but now I'm also have to be afraid because of my political beliefs. And I don't think that that is what you meant by what you said, at least I hope not. However, I unfortunately think that is how it came across.
I mean, I think it's come across in programs where the goal is to not do journalism anymore, but to take like a minute clip and then to get as mad as possible. I think it was proved earlier, somebody came up and referenced something that's made the rounds on all the mainstream media, national and international, that I got banned from Twitch recently. That was not true. That was 3 years ago. I tweeted that out because I knew everybody would take the bait on it. It seems like journalists no longer have any type of actual desire to dig through and figure out like what is a person saying or what's going on with this particular statement. Instead, it's just to play 30-second clips to get everybody hyped up. When you say that there's only a select few conservatives in the public eye, I think it's like intentional. I don't think that it's just random that Donald Trump has, you know, begged on Fox and Friends to disavow violence and to tell everybody to turn it down, and he won't do it. I think that's just an intentional choice. Like when Biden was the leader of the country, it doesn't seem like he had the same problem of not being able to disavow violence and not being able to build bridges with people. You can see in the legislation he passed. I wish that the right, I guess, like had a greater fear of political violence and it wasn't all just a big game or a big joke to them. That's my feeling on it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do agree, and unfortunately I think that is a huge part of mainstream media these days, and they have done it over and over to Charlie Kirk, as well as several others. I mean, they've done it to you, they've done it to him, of pulling 5-second clips without showing the entire thing of what was said. So, the one last thing I want to say is I kind of want to address you guys again. I think that I don't care what your political beliefs are, your religious beliefs, I think a lot of you do kind of need to wake up and realize that your president is not the most wonderful thing. I am a Trump supporter, but every single president has their flaws. Vote for who is the best man for the country, not who is the best man in the House.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
I have a quick question for you. What happened on May 7th, 2019?
I don't know what happened.
On May 7th, 2019, I was at school in 7th grade, and two shooters came into the school, opened fire. One, Alec McKinney, who is a trans male, I'm pretty sure, broke into his dad's safe with an axe to steal his dad's gun to then go into the school and shoot up. So my question for you is, earlier you said that you believe that trans people should have guns, but he didn't have access to a gun, so he took it illegally, making him unable to go through a background check. And how do you feel we can address that?
I have no idea. How do you address people who get a hold of guns illegally? I think that there are things that you can do, but like it feels like we can't have any conversation about getting to any kind of gun safety thing in the United States because people feel like it infringes on their rights, and it also kind of hampers your ability to use a firearm in self-defense. But like the idea of if you have children in the household, either some kind of tax credit or maybe even some kind of legal obligation to like have a gun safe or something where weapons are kept. I mean, might be a thing, but yeah. So I mean, like I don't know how you can get it. I don't know if you can legislate against like events like that. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. What do you think? Do you have an idea or?
Well, definitely better mental health support because he tried getting mental health support. He went through all the steps. He was working through it, and then he started becoming violent, rude. He was being mean to people in the halls, and then one day near the very end of the semester, when he was a junior, he convinced Devin Erickson to go in and kill Kendrick Castillo, who without him, I would not be alive today.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had a better answer, but I mean, there might be some. This feels so tasteless. I don't mean it like this, but like, unironically, there are some rights that you have in the country that there are costs for. And I mean, like, there's a Charlie Kirk saying, you know, related to like the Second Amendment, like there are some costs that you pay if we want to have guns available in the United States. There's going to be like a cost associated, unfortunately, with firearms being available here. I think that at some point you're going to have to make a decision about like what rights you want and what costs you're willing to pay for them. And yeah, right now in the United States, as long as the Second Amendment exists, it seems like there's some trade-off we have to accept for gun violence. Obviously, I'm going to agree that we should have more mental health support and everything, too. It just requires funding, political will, and I'm not sure, just because I don't know the specifics of what kind of mental health this guy seeked out, if there would have been a way to catch something like that early. I know, for instance, like the black guy that stabbed the Ukrainian-American woman on that bus, like that dude was, I think, probably mentally out there, and I think people knew about it, but it seems like there was no support.
He was released 14 times.
Yeah, but I mean, he was also in prison for 5 years, like at one point, so people knew he was crazy, but there was no support for that. Unfortunately, it seems like if you're an adult and you have issues related to psychosis or, you know, schizophrenia or whatever else, there's just no support for you. They just kind of cast you out on the street until you either killed somebody or yourself, basically, yeah, which I think is tragic in this country.
I agree with that. Thank you. Cool.
Thank you. Thanks for the question.
Nice to meet you. Wanted to thank you for doing this. I know a lot of people towards the left don't ever end up coming out publicly speaking like you, so I want to thank you for that. It's more of a question that I have for you, and what is your take on Jesus Christ and the New Testament?
I'm a hardcore atheist, so I don't believe in any of it. Yeah.
Can you tell me why?
I don't see any strong evidence for the existence of God.
Oh, sorry, did that just fall off?
It's okay.
Okay. Can you back up your statement on that, though? Like, why, though?
I feel like the onus is on the other side to prove some kind of...
Sorry?
I feel like the onus is on the other side to make an affirmative claim, right? And I don't see any strong evidence to believe in higher power, so I don't.
Can I ask you a personal question, though? Have you read the New Testament?
The entirety of it? No, but I mean...
Just the Gospels. I mean, we can
just we did the Gospels. I went to Catholic school for 12 years, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very good. So, there is a lot of evidence backing up, especially the New Testament. There are over 5,800 Greek manuscripts or pieces of manuscripts, all agreeing to an infinitesimal degree. Have you ever done your research in regarding that, or have you just pushed it away?
My biblical scholarship is not that great anymore, but I mean. I remember studying the Q source or whatever for Matthew, Mark, and whatever a long time ago. I like dug into it a little bit, whatever I learned in school, but not past that now.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'm going to be researched into becoming religious right now.
Okay. Will you ever try to look into that? Just to try to so we can at least try to stay honest and do your research on that type of stuff.
I feel like there's a million other things that are more pertinent right now in my life to research, but I also feel like there's 100 other religions out there to research too, so I don't know if I have the time to go through all of them.
If I can ask, with Charlie Kirk's assassination, doesn't that kind of scare you that could actually happen to you and where you're going to end up after?
Yeah, but I mean, who's to say I could end up in the, you know, one hell versus another afterlife versus reincarnation versus whatever else. I feel like I'd have to spend the rest of my life reading through religious manuscripts to figure out which one is the best one to follow.
Okay, I will definitely say you should definitely read the Gospels.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'm taking into consideration.
Absolutely. I want to say one thing, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him.
How's it going?
Doing okay.
Excellent. So my question is less about political violence and more about what's happening post the political violence that just occurred. So on October 8th, four CEOs have been called to testify in front of Congress, Discord, Twitch, Steam, and I'm forgetting the other one off the top of my head, Reddit. Thank you. And I'm wondering, one, what's your stance on that, considering your view, you've been deplatformed before? And also, well, first, I guess, what's your view on that?
I mean, it depends on like what you're looking at, but I think that there is probably an unacceptable amount of, on some platforms, like an open call, sometimes it feels like to violence. I feel like it's gotten pretty insane, especially on platforms like Twitch. I think that there are pretty insane statements made all the time by a lot of people, but I feel like we kind of follow right now the leadership in the United States. I feel like Trump has kind of set the tone on where a lot of those conversations are, unfortunately. So it's hard to come down really hard on some platforms when I feel like the leadership in the U.S. itself, you know, echoes a lot of the same sentiments. But I mean, in general, I think it's not good where a lot of the social media platforms are.
Do you think this is like the government actually caring about deplatforming, or do you think, I mean, I'm going to be honest, your community, your podcast host, Dan Saltman, has been involved in mass letter campaigns to people like Richie Torres to get people deplatformed, and I'm obviously referring to Hassan. I agree with you on some things, I agree with Hassan on some things, I'm kind of in the middle on that progressive end. However, I do feel like there's been some content creators, Asmongold, H3H3, all those kind of fuckers, who have all been involved in this push to deplatform people. And I feel like it's now coming back to bite you in the butt, for example. I mean, your name is being mentioned in congressional hearings now. I'm just wondering, do you feel any responsibility for that?
I think there's a huge difference between deplatforming somebody by pressuring a platform to take action on something versus like the FCC and Donald Trump pressuring organizations to do things.
We agree on that, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have a right to have their voices heard on things. People have had me deplatformed from things, you know, whether I agree or disagree. It is what it is, but I think it's fundamentally a different conversation than what we saw happen just recently with Kimmel and the entirety of the Conservative Party supporting it. I think is a very scary thing. But there are some things that people think they have like an absolutist position on, but their position is a lot more malleable. They just haven't seen it like tested yet. Like all of us agree in some level of deplatforming, right? Like if some guy were to go live on a YouTube stream and he was just abusing dogs all day, just like, you know, punch him in the head, I think everybody would be like, well, this guy should probably be banned. Like there's going to be some level where we're all like, well, this is probably not okay. You know, like watching Hassan, you know, clap and cheer with his chat when Houthis are hijacking ships in the ocean and saying that they're based in Austin, I think is an insanely unhinged thing to watch on a media platform, especially by their own rules. So you can't champion terrorist violence. So, there's going to be some level of, like, obviously disagreement that people should be allowed to have across social media platforms, but I think it's gotten really extreme on a lot of them right now.
So you mentioned the Kimmel thing. That just happened. The FCC is obviously being weaponized for censorship purposes. I mean, it's also kind of like kiss the ring and we'll allow you to do mergers, all that stuff going on behind the scenes. Where do you see this going? Do you see it being weaponized more against political opposition, or do you think it's kind of going to stop once the Democrat takes power? Or do you think the Democrats are going to do it to Republicans?
The problem is if you ask Republicans, like, what is your red line? They'll never give you one. Republicans have no red line. They will cheer for literally anything this administration does. And I think Trump is realizing that more and more. So, you know, where does it stop? I have absolutely no idea. I don't think anybody knows where it'll stop. It'll stop wherever Donald Trump wants it to stop, basically.
All right. And I guess one more thing I wanted to ask. So going back to, I mean, you've been deplatformed. Do you have an urge to get back on these sites that you've been banned from, or do you just kind of feel like you're carving your own lane now?
I mean, it'd be nice to, but I mean, I'm not holding my breath for it right now. So yeah, just operate where you can, I guess.
All right, cool. I just wanted to have a discussion about that. So thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
Hi. You're a fucking coward, Destiny.
Oh, it's the dog fucker. What's up, dude?
I did not come here tonight to argue with you nor anybody in this room. All I want to say is Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Give your life to Jesus and you will never be the same. Last thing I want to say is free Israel and Miswell High.
Hell, Satan.
Wow. You have a thing to say, right? You have an actual thing to say.
Right? Yeah. Free Gaza!
Hey there. As one of the last speakers tonight, I just want to say thank you for coming out. And I know that, you know, you wouldn't condemn Charlie Kirk's murder without Trump doing so. Did I kind of get that right?
Can you repeat that last thing?
That you wouldn't condemn Charlie Kirk's murder unless Donald Trump did so.
I mean, I condemn all political violence. I will, okay. But I don't want to go on shows where there are a bunch of Republicans that deny anything happened on their side just to play the game on the liberal side, and then, you know, have this cycle repeat ad infinitum, which is where we're at over and over and over again. Like, I think everybody should be willing to say
that totally makes sense. As would I. I would condemn his murder, Charlie Kirk's murder too, regardless of what the president did or didn't do. And I want to connect a thread earlier about Republicans who aren't afraid of political violence. Charlie Kirk made the claims Islam is the sword of the left, is the sword the left is using to slit the throat of America, and that the left and Islam are two threats combining forces to come after us, that migrants from Haiti will be raping your women and hunting you down at night, and will be coming for your daughter next. These are all things that Charlie Kirk said. Kirk also said Jewish donors have been the number one funding mechanism of radical, open border, neoliberal, quasi-Marxist policies, cultural institutions, and nonprofits. So, you know, he says all these things, and people who aren't hateful don't say things like that. The only next step for someone rational who hears those things would be to try to kill the people who say those things, because, you know, just operating under the pretense that...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I would be careful with that, obviously, because you don't want to say that, like, you should... This gets us into, like, the punch a Nazi thing, right?
The big
conversation that, like, people need to have is, like, if you characterize your political opponents a certain way, you're basically only giving people violence a way out, whether it's dealing with you or dealing with your political opponents, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a bad thing. I think that the left has had issues with that broadly, for sure, but the right has a huge issue with it right now that I won't address. But, yeah, I mean, like, just, when you cast your enemies, you know, it's, like, good and evil, or it's the entirety of a party that is, you know, corrupted, yeah, or it's all immigrants or whatever. Like, yeah, it
just sucks that they're leaving people only one way out. They're leading them to, you know, one conclusion. And so, you know, I condemn his murder, and I can, you know, and I condemn the shooter who killed him. But it's like, you know, I am of the belief that people shouldn't be like he was. The rhetoric has to be above that.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree, obviously, yeah. Yeah?
Yeah, and, sorry. What do you think it would take for folks to realize Kirk's rhetoric and similar rhetoric won't solve our problems?
I have maybe more time going forth where our problems aren't being solved. Yeah. We're about to see with this tariff stuff, so, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Thanks. Appreciate the hearing your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Hi, friend. So, recently you have been, I'm going to take the soy pill as well. As somebody, we've been friends for 3 years and support you in a lot of ways, but I've been frustrated by your peers' performance and particularly the, like, leaning into the ratcheting things up. I agree that you don't want to clap for me, I can assure you. we're not on the same team. I agree that when there's two people standing with lit matches and one person puts out the match, the issue is that it doesn't stop the paper from burning if the other team won't turn it out. And I agree that right now, President Trump is refusing to put that match out, and most Republican pundits are refusing to put that match out, which I think is bad, right? I denounce that behavior. I think it's harmful to the nation. The issue is that when you're talking through the rationale for why we need to do this, you typically use prisoner's dilemma, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Okay. My issue with using, like, game theory is that that's not how people work. I think that when we try to assume, like, game theory or prisoner's dilemma to try to understand how people think and work, we're, like, assuming that most people will continue to consistently act most rationally and that the most rational outcome will be the thing that people experience. And that's not really true. Like, in the case of the prisoner's dilemma, what you actually have is two sides where the win condition isn't they eat both get to get off scot-free, or they're one person's in jail, one person's not. The actual issue is that it's an audience watching this, and they get to decide the outcomes of these people, right? If the left and right are in a boxing match, the winning team isn't the team that knocks the other team out faster or harder. It's who the audience loves the most, because that's how democracy works. And so a lot of my issue with your, like, leaning into ratcheting up feels like it's betraying the, like, fundamental psychology of how humans work, which is that it is not the most rational thing. Most moderates look at the assassination and they're horrified, but then they look at you mocking Erica Kirk and they're horrified. And the issue is that all we're doing is we're just driving normal people further away, not because they're making the most rational decision, but because they are the audience that gets to decide the winner. And I'm terrified that you are driving the audience to look at us as the villains, and I don't want the left to be the villains.
Yeah, so I think that when you look at Prisoner's Dilemma stuff or tit for tat strategies, I think that's exactly how humans work. I think it maps on perfectly to human behavior. I think that people don't do things that they think is going to be a bad outcome for it. I think that people do things that they feel like there's going to be some cooperative effort for it. I think that the thing that I guess I would fight for right now, rather than just the whether or not you look unhinged or not, is I think there should be a fight for the framing. I think that in a system where Donald Trump can make violent statement after violent statement after violent statement after violent statement, if somebody could look at a random person on the left and go, wow, this is too much for me, that system is deeply broken. And I think it's worth having the fight there rather than to constantly play into the right-wing framing.
I would grant you this. The issue is that when I watch the peers debate, you have Andrew Wilson. The major attack that you had on him was denouncing Hortman, and he just immediately did it. And so all of a sudden, you've lost all of the moral high ground. You just optically look terrible.
Well, to be clear, it's not losing any moral high ground. It's losing your perceived optical high ground. But you know somebody who didn't make any unhinged statements were Jimmy Kimmel, and he just got completely suspended by the FCC.
Every single
conservative on the right cheered it on.
He
didn't say anything unhinged whatsoever. So.
This isn't selling to me, right? Like, we agree on this. Jimmy Kimmel getting canceled is fucking stupid, and everyone participating in cancel culture is fucking stupid. Like, we agree on these things. The issue is that to most normal viewers, they watched you look more awful than every other person on that panel, whereas you could have just had the high ground if you go, of course the killing of Charlie Kirk was wrong, but why isn't the president calling down violence? Like,
yeah, and then they immediately move to the next Twitter account. You guys always have fantasies in your mind about what the conversation will look like next, but it never, ever, ever goes that way. Like, I can ask for an example of it happening, and there's none. You have none. If you disavow it, and you say, yeah, of course it's valid, they go, well, what about this person on Twitter? Anna Kasparian on that program disavowed it, and Andrew Wilson started bringing up old tweets of hers, and then when he didn't know he had old tweets of hers, he started bringing up old tweets of Cenk, and then he started bringing up old tweets from the Young Turks. And Anna Kasparian wasn't any closer than I was to having any kind of, like,
sure, but now you can immediately move that conversation into a more interesting conversation.
It's not more interesting to find out what tweet can be pinned on.
Being mean, and that's a meaningful conversation to have.
I clearly not, because I've never incited violence against Erica. You just said it looks bad to say anything about the fact that she's fundraising for Charlie Kirk on her husband's death, which I think is crazy in the immediate aftermath of that. So I mean I would rather have, I don't know, we'll see, I guess in a year or two how it pans out, but I think I'd rather have the argument over, like, the framing needs to change, that it can't constantly be that one side has to act 50 million levels of morality above the other side to be taken seriously. That's just a very unserious, and if that is where the moderate is at or the normie is at, then I guess we just go to the next form of government is, after that, the current one is not working. Yeah.
Hi, Stephen.
Hey, guys. Sorry. Can we just have the conversation?
My question is, what is something that you think that we all could do, yourself included, to promote unity in politics, in the culture, just unity? What do you think would help?
I think one of the most corrosive aspects to conversation is when people assume the other person is operating in bad faith. That when somebody says they want the whole country to be religious, it's just because they want to be oppressive and shut down everybody's religions, rather than they genuinely think that Jesus Christ is the only way through salvation and that it would make everybody's life better. And then on the same, when people are fighting for trans health care, other people thinking, oh, they just want to brainwash my kid and chop their genitals off or whatever. I think that the most important thing you can do, if you're trying to find common ground, if you're not trying to win a debate or own somebody, or scream at somebody on a college campus, I think the best thing you can do is assume the other person is coming at it in good faith, and then try to figure out, like, why do you think this would make the country better when I think something completely different would make the country better. I think that would be one of the most important things, but I think our whole media apparatus is driven towards kind of like rage baiting and outrage and everything. Yeah,
I completely agree. And I know it's hard because people come at you really in a already turned up to 11, but I mean, would you be able to say that going forward you're going to try and assume that some of these Trump supporters do approach it from good faith? Maybe not the ones that are coming at you screaming full volume, but the ones like, I don't know if she's still in here, but the girl with the hat, and she had a really, like, it ended with, I agree. It ended with her saying, I agree with you. So I think,
Yeah. So, like, this sounds condescending. I don't mean to sound that way. I think that most of the people in places like this, I think, are good faith. But that's the reason why, like, I have so much anger for some of the larger conservative figures I debate, because I think that they don't do it in good faith, and I think they're misleading a lot of people intentionally. We argued about Jan 6 earlier in here, and about people being let into the building. When I debated Owen Schroyer on stage, I bet him $5,000 that the people that broke into the Capitol were Proud Boys first, and he wouldn't take that bet with me on stage. And the reason why is because he knew that he was lying. But I bet there are people in the audience that would take a smaller bet because they're really confident, because he sells that lie to him. So, yeah, that is something that bothers me a ton. I think that, my mom and dad are both hardcore MAGA, so I don't think they're bad faith. I don't think they want their country to be destroyed. I think that most people on the ground, most people that are listening to media and, even that aren't absorbed in it 24/7, are coming at it, with some level of good faith. So it's the pundits that drive me the craziest, yeah.
I agree. Thank you.
Can I bring it out here? Yeah.